Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game. Hello, Mech Warriors. I'm your host, Josh. Finally back from a raid, we have co-host Dustin.
What's up?
Our Free Rossahog Republic / Clan Ghost Bear player, also known as the Master of Battle Armor, Kurt.
Thanks for having me.
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Yeah, nothing much to complain about these intervening weeks between last recording and this recording.
What about you, Kurt?
I'm excited. I just got my Wave 2 this last weekend, so I've been diving into that and enjoying it.
Ooh. How's the Wave 2 stockpile?
Large. I did get to use my Stronomecti mat, battle mats this week as a circle equals with a couple of other buddies.
How did that look on the table?
Really good. For those that's getting it, you're going to be very happy with it.
Now, did you pick up one of every single miniature mech pack?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't? I saw the photo you posted, and I was like, man, that's a lot of mechs. And you didn't even get one of everything, huh?
No, I did not. Yeah, there were so many faction-specific, especially for the clans, that I just didn't want to get every pack. There's like one or two I wanted, and I'm not going to buy five to get one or two.
Yeah.
Whoa, a mech warrior showing restraint.
Yeah, I have none of that. You know me, you got to catch them all. I'm going to be getting one of everything once they come to retail. That's going to be a lot of mechs to paint. I stand by my decision not to order anything from Wave 2, but I am frankly envious of all the photos of the packages finally coming in.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. So we kind of jumped into a little bit of news that is the Wave 2 finally shipping. It's been a while, but Catalyst has delivered. I'm excited, like I said, to see that all come to retail. Quick bets time, speculation time. Do you guys think they're going to do another Kickstarter to kickstart? I don't know. Maybe the Ill Clan era or the Civil War?
I don't know. It's hard to tell what they will want to do next, considering how many road bumps or speed bumps they hit along the way.
Yeah.
And aren't they working on a Shadowrun Kickstarter now?
Quite possibly, yeah. Catalyst does have a couple other intellectual properties that they manage.
What? No. No, they only do Battletech.
Nah, I wish they would focus entirely on it. But yeah, I think it's going to be on the back burner.
Yeah, so have you gotten any games or hobby progress done lately, Dustin?
I did a tiny bit of modeling on the Clawdrubber that I'm working on Fusion 360. Other than that, first it was Foxhole, now it's High Fleet. I keep on having excuses. I think because I haven't, just life keeps on getting in the way of my in-person games with Battletech, and as soon as I get a game, I'll get more excited to paint some more. I got to finish up my Alpha Galaxy. How about you? Any games, any modeling, any dice rolling?
I played with a newer player and a brand new player some classic Battletech. Also threw in a little teaching of Alpha Strike. And by teaching Alpha Strike, I mean literally, all right, how do we do movement? how do we shoot? What's different? I don't know. I've never done this before.
Yeah, it's like what? Minus one for, yeah, we're not going to talk about Alpha Strike rules. Anyways, that sounds like fun.
It's a Battletech podcast for tabletop.
Classic Battletech.
With a focus on classic. Yeah, it was good. I wanted to show them both sides of the coin just because they are primarily 40K players. I didn't know if they would take more to the classic side or to the Alpha Strike side. I know that they are the types of people to just fall in love with the miniatures and then go to the rules whichever way they feel more comfortable.
Minis first, rules later.
Exactly. So we got done with the Alpha Strike game in about an hour, maybe an hour and change, and then we got into the classic one, and that slowed down a little bit as I had to throw out how to do hit locations and damage rolls and all that. But it was still good. 4v4, which I thought was a little much, but it was a two-man team versus a one-man team. Mm-hmm. So we got some fun some melee action, and the brand new player could definitely make some 11-12 rolls.
Nice.
Oh, you need an LRM through 2.5 woods rolling a 12. That man could roll it. So wow. Props to him. He was a straight up killer, and I hope to see him on the battlefield again.
Nice. Kurt, you told us about our game on your new battle mats. Did you get any hobbying in? Or
that's been the biggest thing, is I got it on Saturday and Sunday. It was a 2-part shipment. Battle mats came separate. Little heads up for people with stuff coming in. No, mostly it was just going through it all, sorting it into my various factions. Haven't done any painting on it yet.
I mean, nice. Painting comes second. Once you like have it all in your brain, you let it kind of marinate, and your brain will put the paint on it in your imagination. Then you just have to like send that email down to your fingers and let that do the work. At least that's how it works for me.
Well, Josh, like you, I'm very much games oriented.
Heathens.
I need games to motivate me to paint.
Oh, I guess you're not heathens. That's totally true for me too.
What do you mean heathens?
You were saying that you don't paint, but then you said you need the games to paint, and that's totally true for me. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Besides Wave 2 shipping, is there any BattleTech news of late?
I think it's all Wave 2. I think that's the biggest news, and I think Catalyst is just right now trying to get everything out, get all the fulfillments done so they can focus on the next thing. Like, they're not even going to announce what they're working on next until 95% of the population has what they wanted.
Yeah, the recognition guys were delayed the next set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they'll finish up around December, which kind of makes sense. Let's everybody get the Wave 2, gives their writers a break to focus on Ill-Clan and stuff like that. Yeah, because they've been pumping those out, and it's nice to see them throwing out regular content like that.
Yeah.
But please do not burn out, because we want a steady stream, not a tsunami.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my hope with future model products from them. Maybe they don't even need to do a Kickstarter. Maybe they can just, every 6 months is, here's a new Lance pack.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
I don't think any of us would.
Yeah, who would? I mean, I wonder if they're going to have more intermittent releases through the Creative Juggernaut, through the stateside. I think that would be a smart decision. I don't know. It would get us all excited. I say that, and I haven't purchased the Black Knight or the Stormcrow.
Stormcrow. Yeah.
I don't know that the Stormcrow's done yet.
No.
I got to get
at least not as far as I'm aware. I've not seen any official models floating around the internet, so that right. tells me that it's still in the finalizing stage.
Yeah, and besides, first I got to get my Ill-Clan book. And, you know, I read Hour of the Wolf, and then get my source book and get back to the table and play some Ill-Clan games. I'm actually pretty hyped on that.
Yeah, at this point, we all just want to play games. Doesn't matter what era, what we're doing, what kind of models is on the table. I do have a PSA from Ares Games and Minis. Unfortunately, Comstar is raising dropship prices sphere-wide starting October 3rd in preparation for the holiday season. So if you were hoping for a Christmas resupply, get those orders in now at Ares Games and Minis so your C-bills go to mechs and not to jumps. All right, so let's take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Transmission inbound from Fortress Miniatures and Games. Relay to Mech Warriors. Message. Alpha Strike Tournament inbound. Dates, November 6th and 7th, 2021. Location, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Current estimates indicate a two-day, six-game firefight with 350 point compositions. You have 2 months to get your forces picked, primed, and painted. If your dropship is still missing tech, you can requisition new tech from Fortress Miniatures. They stock dice, vehicles, and more mechs than you can manage. Until then, check your gear and stand by to stand by. Transmission out.
All right, and we are back. So this one is for all the toads, gorillas, sloths, and nighthawks out there. That's right. It's battle armor time. We are going to talk about what these walking tanks of the battlefield... Wait, I mean the smaller, shorter walking tanks of the battlefield. So what these guys are, how do you use them, and how do you fight them on the tabletop? Kurt is our resident battle armor expert who's been throwing toads at me since essentially the second day at the table. So I had to bring him on to kind of give us a deeper rundown on how to use them and what they are mainly used for on the battlefield. Kurt, how would you describe battle armor in like the most basic sense?
They are a mix of traditional infantry and mechs.
They're a beautiful in-between, a marrying of the two, right?
Yeah, it's basically infantry with mech armor. Mech bubbles instead of tracking individual troopers.
In universe, they have mech armor, question mark? Just less of it? I know they have Myomer in their suits, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much just mech scale armor and equipment scaled down to fit on a large humanoid.
Now, I know battle armors are mostly initially introduced to us through the clan invasion. Does battle armor exist in the Inner Sphere before the invasion?
Yeah, so you've got, like, before the invasion, there's only two types of power armor, and it's not even... I'm sorry, you've got two types of battle armor, but it's not even called battle armor at this point. It's called power armor.
Interesting.
And that the switch to power armor to battle armor came with the elementals, the clan ones. Power Armor was really just like a scout slash Black Ops kind of level. And that all started with the Nighthawk, which was a Star League variant. And that was a scout special operations armor.
The earlier models were all light battle armor. Basically just handheld rifles, no real special equipment.
No, is there any special armor on the primitive battle armor? Or is it just like an exoskeleton that helps people move around and lift heavy things?
Yeah, more or less. It's just an exoskeleton. Damage-wise in-game, it's the same. Okay. But
I mean, they do have two armor blips. They do have more than inventory. Like, they aren't, at least in the classic Battletech, they're not treated as inventory.
Yeah, exactly.
In true Star League lore, there were 25,000 or more of these suits running around in the Black Reach Special Operations Force. They weren't used like elementals or battle armor now. They were used as fancy scout infantry.
Yeah, man, more or less, they just had the same rifle as the foot infantry.
What is it? And they walked one, and they could jump three hexes, so that's kind of like a recurring thing that we see down the line, is the either a one walk or three walk or a zero or three jump. Yeah, that was the Nighthawk, so that's Starly era. There's 25,000, so there's a good chance that there are some suits laying around Bounty Hunter. And there were a bunch of different kinds, grenade launchers, infantry rifles. It was really just the fancy suit of the day, and that is what all of battle armor is built off of.
So quick lore question. Do you know if, you know, some of Kerensky's forces took those into the periphery with them, or did they kind of build out of something different? When it comes to the clanners and their elementals.
They definitely took some because they were the Star League Defense Forces,
right?
Special forces. Like, it would be
Unlikely that they wouldn't have any. Right?
Exactly. So they took a lot of it. I don't know if they decided not to use it or it was just too hard to maintain, because we do see it not being used in the Succession Wars almost at all. But I know that the clans went their separate route due to...
I think it ties back into the anti-infantry bias of clan warfare. I mean, they had it, but they didn't use a lot of it.
Yeah. The Nighthawk is a special ops armor with infrared electronic countermeasures, stealth systems, so it really doesn't apply to clan warfare. So they probably had it, looked at it, and discarded it, put it in a brine cache.
From there, we kind of jump ahead, right, to the Toad, as it's known in the Inner Sphere in certain corners, or the, as the clanners call it, the Elemental Suit. Yeah, so developed in, what, 2842?
The Elemental Suit was developed by Clan Scorpion. It was actually a diving suit for like mineral-rich oceans and mining that. Because if you're in a barren wasteland, you're going to go where the few resources are. And if they're underwater, you're going to go get them.
Yeah, and where the original clanners settled were just lush, rich jungle planets with nice beaches and resorts. And
Oh, yeah, totally.
It was easy life.
Vacations. Yeah. Vacations all around. It wasn't an exodus. It was a Kerensky's vacation.
Yeah, Kerensky's vacation.
He'll be back one day once his PTO runs out, right?
So as is typical, Clan Wolf never comes up with anything cool, but they sure do steal it, right?
Thankfully, this wasn't as much a steal, but like almost a formal bargaining. Like,
oh, okay.
Clan Scorpion knew what it had, and Clan Wolf also saw how this could be used very well. It wasn't a true like, no, this is mine. It's a, hey, if we did this together, I can make this better, and I'll just write my name on it.
Clan culture has a strange kind of camaraderie, but it does exist. It's weird, but it is there.
But it was funny because Hell Horses also contributed in the fact of the elemental namesake is the actual element warrior pilot inside of the diving suit, essentially. And they had the better genetics for like the infantry soldiers. Combine Scorpion's diving suit, Wolf's ingenuity for slapping weapons on things, and Hell Horse's steroid infused warriors, you have the perfect recipe for the clan elemental.
Yeah, you got the classic sci-fi trope of the genetically engineered human that is further modified after being born inside of super armor.
Yeah. I did think it was funny that this came along with Clan Hell Horse's first Omnimech, the Nova, which was built with the Omni systems to allow the elementals to ride on the mech itself. This is once you start seeing the elemental battle strategy kind of develop. That's why
that new clan version of combined arms, right?
Exactly. Because, you know, tanks are okay, but Hell's Horses even had a trouble. Like, how do we take all of our fancy soldiers around the battlefield? Well, we'll just have them ride on top of the mechs that we have.
There you go.
Oh, that works. That was, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's why taking a star of elementals and a star of battle armor is called a Nova, is because the first mech to have them was a Nova.
So I feel like the elemental is kind of like the ride or die. It's the standard. When somebody says, I'm bringing battle armor to the field, the elemental's record sheet is what pops up into my head. Kurt, what is an elemental?
Well, just one thing. The elemental was, I believe, the first battle armor that was introduced in Universe from a gameplay perspective.
So Faza introduced the elemental first, is that what you're saying, in real life?
Yeah, from what I know. And then the construction rules were written afterwards based off of the elemental. Elementals are medium weight battle armor. Yeah, as you said, Dustin, they're the standard.
Wait, medium weight?
Like mechs, there's four weights for battle armor, with different abilities and restrictions for each. But elementals are like the baseline. The medium class is the baseline, with the elemental being the...
It's the original. It's the...
The original, the premium poster child of medium armor.
The Honda Civic of powered armor.
Yeah, you can put 300,000 miles on that bad boy. Yeah, so what kind of outfit this guy bring? What kind of armor? What kind of weapons offensively?
So early on, we only had three variants. Small laser, a flamer, and a machine gun. It also had a two-shot SRM-2, and it had the same underslung rifle, anti-personnel rifle, as base foot infantry.
So you're saying all of the original three elementals all have the two-shot SRM and the anti-personnel machine gun, and there were three versions, one with a flamer in addition to those, one with a heavier machine gun, and one with a laser?
Okay. Yeah, the regular machine gun and small laser.
The mech scaled machine gun with the two pips.
Yes.
Of damage. Okay, nice.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was saying earlier about the battle armor taking mech scale equipment.
Yeah, this is mech grade equipment. This is like strapping a tank rifle to the side of your infantry, which hence the power suit. You got to have it.
Yeah, these are half ton minimum
jabronis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Regarding armor, they have 10 points of armor per member of the squad. And then one pip for the health of the pilot or soldier inside. So it takes 11 points of damage to kill one elemental.
I mean, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah. When a base infantryman can eat a PPC shot and still get back up, that's a lot.
You take a lightning bolt to the face from a mech, and
that's more than some light mechs.
And what kind of mobility do we have here?
The standard for most medium suits, one walk and three jump.
Nice. And I see we've got written down here 447 battle value. Now, I know the clanners like to put five suits inside of a unit. They call it 5 points to a star, right?
Yes. It's 5 suits to a point.
And is that 447 battle value for each suit, or is it, that seems like a lot.
That's,
it must be for all
squad.
Five.
No. Yeah, that's a squad of five.
And the record sheet will generally have listed the squad battle value and the individual suit battle value.
Yeah. Don't use the standard individual cost and multiply it by five. It doesn't work out math-wise.
Oh, no kidding.
In Tech Manual, there's a modifier chart based on the number of suits in the unit.
Okay. And it's not a straight multiplier.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Josh, I see we've got some other suits. Elemental can't be the coolest kid in the room.
These are what I would call the special mentions, just because these are the other suits that you could see up to the Battle of Tukiid. After Tukiid, I'd like to think that the elemental, you know, box has been opened and you can never put it all back, just because every faction almost has their own flavor and then another flavor and then variants of those several flavors.
Yeah, there's a lot of battle armor post Tukiid. So before your head explodes when we say the elemental's the only battle armor that's of primary mention, we're talking up to the Battle of Tukiid.
Yeah.
Right. But for the honorable mentions, what do we have?
We have Comstar's Tornado, and that started production in 2905. And I'm bringing this up because that would have been the only armor that I can reasonably see them using on Tukiid, and that is essentially their Black Ops stealth suit that they developed from the Nighthawk. So it's almost exactly like the Nighthawk, except it's just one walk. It doesn't have the jump three like the Nighthawk did.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. They only have two armor, one arm or one blip for the person inside.
One structure, right?
Exactly. But they do have some good stealth systems. They've got some adaptive camo, so it is still hard to shoot these guys. Yeah. So these guys with their Mauser 960 pulse rifle infantry weapon, they can do up to 5 damage if they roll really good on their cluster table for shots. These are more of a hidden unit, hold an objective kind of guy, in my opinion. They were expensive and they're not running around in giant infantry level squad. Y'all have any thoughts on them? Or
I have plenty to say about what they appear to be capable of to me, but I'll kind of save the tactics for the tactics discussion.
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, that's a bad suit, that's a good suit kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think this is a bad suit.
Yeah, this was not a frontline infantry suit. This is they label it as a Black Ops stealth suit.
Yeah,
it's for flavor.
Your campaign, your narrative campaigns.
Yeah, Nighthawk, the original one, that's a scout special ops armor. This is a Black Ops stealth suit. Like,
I see.
I can only imagine a couple hundred of these running around. Our next honorable mention is the Sloth, which was the Liren's attempt at battle armor.
And am I reading this right? This is a quad armor?
This is a quad battle armor.
See, I knew this existed, but only in the 3145 era, which is honestly the armor I'm most familiar with outside of the elemental. But all right. So the Liren's were cool. They made quad armor.
Yeah. And I just think this one's like, if I could tell anyone about like some absurd thing, it'd be the Sloth, because it moves three. Like, it doesn't jump, it moves three.
Which is fast.
So, which is just as fast as all the other battle armors out there. But it has two small lasers and one pop-up mine. The two small lasers, six damage, two chances to hit. That's pretty cool. The pop-up mine is a range zero, so it has to be right on top of the mech. And that's a four damage shot. So it can actually hurt you. This is not a garbage battle armor. This is one that if I had to take in, I would. And that has five armor and one pip for the person inside. And a squad of those is 180 battle value, which I think is pretty reasonable in comparison to the elementals.
Yeah, that's cheap.
That's pretty cheap. So the next one is the Davian version, which is the Infiltrator. And that was also started production in 3050. So that, unlike the Liren's with two small lasers, only has an infantry grade grenade launcher, which would only do one damage to battle mechs.
Not impressed.
But this one, not as impressive, but this one does have prototype stealth armor. It's going to get shot less, but even the Davions mentioned that this is not great for frontline battles.
No.
This is better for, like, this is for fighting combined arms and infantry, which they weren't being deployed against.
Yeah, this is very much an experimental armor in the fluff. This is them seeing elementals for the first time and trying to emulate it with their poor technology.
Ah, no kidding.
We'll get to our last one, which is the one that we're probably all most knowledgeable about, and that's the Intersphere Standard. And that was what the New Avalon Institute of Science developed and then kind of gave to the Grey Death Legion to use. Essentially your Intersphere version of the Elemental, as best as they could do. And that's a one walk, three jump with a small laser. This one does not have any SRMs because it was too heavy. It has nine armor and one blip for the meat. So
there's no anti-personnel weapon for this guy?
No, there's a... It's got the same options as the elemental. So it's got variants for the meat or for the small laser, the machine gun, flamer, but no secondary and no missiles.
But I thought this one was interesting because this is kind of what becomes the Intersphere's, you know,
worse answer, like the Rakshasha of the
Exactly. This is our copycat of it. What was funny was the official Intersphere Standard didn't come out until 3052, but we were fighting with the prototype version called the Gorilla, and that was being used against clans whenever they could, but it only had five armor. There was a lot of manufacturing and research and design going on to the actual full one.
Yeah. So quick thing, just comparing the Intersphere Standard to the Elemental. You've only got nine pips of armor instead of 10. So that same PPC will kill a
PPC shot. Yeah,
that'll kill a standard suit.
Yeah, but if you're shooting PPCs at battle armor, who's really winning here?
Right, and we'll get to that.
Still, that's when you have when you're being swarmed and you're having to fire defensively. You want to pick up a suit per shot, and that's a big threshold difference.
Yeah, so let's talk about that swarm attack that segues into our next section where I ask you about how these work on the function. We're going to gloss over a couple rules questions. We're not going to get into the nitty gritty. Read your rule book. But so swarm attacks and leg attacks, what are they and what do they do? How do they work?
Leg attacks are, in lieu of shooting, you use your anti-mech skill if you're within the same hex as your target. And if you hit with your mech skill, anti-mech skill, it's an automatic crit chance to a leg, along with four damage.
Okay, so four damage and you get to roll that. You're looking for eight or better.
Correct.
To crit out. Okay.
So if you go through armor, you could get 2 crit chances.
Nice. And then your other option is the swarm attack, right?
Yeah. Less likely to go off, but just imagine the elementals climbing up and hanging on to the mech, shooting their guns into it at point blank range.
So there's like something special you don't have to roll on the cluster table, or you do, but it's all applied to the same, all the damage from the primary weapons dealt to the same area or something like that?
Swarms are like leg attacks. In lieu of firing your small laser this turn, you declare a swarm. It's harder to go off. If it goes off the next turn when you fire, all the damage from one weapon is automatically applied to the same location. So if you have small lasers on elementals, that's automatically 5 small lasers hitting one location.
I mean, that's not bad. That's your AC-15 in one spot, right?
The main thing for swarms for me is if the target is immobile or it's lost a leg.
Just swarm them, as the name implies, right?
Yeah. Get around the penalties for a swarm attack.
Nice. We talked about how elementals ride the mechs. How do you get them on and off of the mechs on the tabletop?
Most of the time, you're going to see battle armor paired with omnis just because of the bonuses or, well, the lack of penalties.
So you're saying that battle armor can mount regular mechs, that's just harder?
You have to have magnetic clamps.
Okay.
But that also lowers the movement of the battle mech by 1.
Okay, so from a rules perspective, if I'm going to my local game store and I'm not building the battle armor, I have to concern myself with if they don't have mag clamps, they cannot ride non-omni mechs, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so most of the time, that's why you're going to see them paired with omnis, because there's no penalty for them riding an omni-mech.
So you can start the game with the elementals or battle armor mounted on the omni-mech, right?
Correct.
And how do they get off of the mech? When does that happen?
So you move the omni-mech first, and at the end of the omni-mech's movement, you just declare they're going to disembark. You put them in the same hex. They do not count as moving.
So they get no movement modifier.
Yes, they are done for the turn. You will very much want to try to drop them defensively when they disembark. You'll want to drop them behind, you know, a level 1 hill or somewhere else where they're out of line of sight.
And just in case you want to fire them across the board on top of a fire moth or something, how do they win and how do they get back on an omni-mech? Is that at the end of the movement phase of the omni-mech, you declare that they're mounting or something like that?
Yeah, the end of the after the omni-mech has moved.
Okay.
They have to be in the same hex. They can elect to embark.
So I know that you can put elementals or battle armor on omni-mech torso locations, 1 in the front and 1 in the back. Most people put them on 3 on the back and 2 on the side torsos, right?
You don't get to elect. It's a table. So you start with the right side torso, and then it goes left torso, right torso rear, left torso rear, center torso rear. And then finally, if you have a six trooper squad, it's going to be center torso.
So can they, you know, shoot their guns while they're riding on the mech? Can they be shot while they're riding on the mech?
No, not in standard rules.
Okay, so if we're playing Total Warfare, they don't get to shoot the mech, but they can get blown off of the mech by incoming fire, right?
Yeah, actually for when opposing fire targets the mech, you roll a d6. Mm-hmm. And on a 1-4, the trooper's not hit, so it just hits the torso location where it was as normal. But on a 5 or 6... the trooper in that torso location is hit first, and you mark his armor off before going to the mechs.
Nice. So you have some ablative armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It screams when it gets hit.
I mean, do elementals scream when you shoot them in the forest? Who knows?
That said, if if a torso location is lost, though, it kills all the troopers on that location. So,
oh, that's the more you know, right?
Yeah. So if you hit that side torso on that fire moth and you don't hit the trooper, and you just blow out the left side, both troopers on that left torso, front and back, are killed.
There's no heat scale on these guys. You're not tracking heat. Is jumping pretty straightforward, just like mechs?
Yeah, exact same.
If you jump 3, you can only jump up 3 levels.
They don't track movement, though. So that's a nice... They don't have a TMM, so they track like normal infantry.
Yeah, so they don't generate a movement modifier for themselves. Like, it is not harder for them to shoot when they jump. So always jump your battle armor with jump jets. But they do occur like target modifiers. It is harder to hit them when they move further, right?
Yes. Yeah, same as for a mech for their jump.
And they get a bonus just for being battle armor, right? +1 to everything.
Yeah.
So it's just harder to shoot them by a margin of adding 1.
they exist in a smaller space, right. So it's harder to hit them. That they just get the bonus just for existing.
That elemental squad jumping three is going to have by itself, before anything else, a modifier of three. Two from the jump and one from being battle armor.
Orientation and view, 360. There is no orientation, right?
Yep. No fire arcs, nothing like that. They're treated like infantry in that conventional infantry in that regard.
There's more edge cases and stuff that we're not going to cover, but I think that's a pretty good, I think you could throw them on the table after that. So do you guys have any general thoughts on the list that we went over, the honorable mentions and the famous elemental?
I use a lot of the standard and the elementals. The rest I don't have or never used.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between Josh and Kurt here. Like, if I'm bringing battle armor, it's elementals. Like, I have the sheet, I'm going to go dig out the sheet, and I'm just going to use the standard elementals. So
for me, I've used the Tyrannus in, like, Republic era, because it's just, like, a recoilless rifle and a medium laser. Like, I just drop them, and they're almost a turret. Like, they can move. I don't think about it very much, and they have the stealth. So for me, I kind of like to go to the Nighthawk, and I've had a lot of discussions with the On the Origins of Battle Mix guys on the best way to use the Nighthawk, because it was designed for like an infantry platoon size. Like, their power armor light, they're not battle armor, so they are completely different in that regard. They weren't meant to be used in a four-man or six-man squad. They're not combat effective in the same way, but they can also ride on Omnimechs if they existed at that time, which they did not. But yeah, so they're very different. The elemental really is kind of the bog standard. Here's how everything should work for power armor / battle armor. And everything else was just kind of extrapolated from that.
My favorite thing about elementals is they fill in a support role. The infantry to the tank in a modern sense. In the BattleTech universe, the boot slogger, the poor bloody infantry, really can't hold a candle to anything but like a bug mech. They get cleaned out, especially if any mech bothers to bring anti-infantry weapons. So I feel like elementals, you know, in a total warfare level game, are the infantry. They're the support for the battle mechs. A modern combined arms doctrine, tanks don't do very well without infantry support. Battle mechs do just fine without infantry support. I find that battle mechs are enhanced with their element, their battle armor. They feel like that to me. I think that's what I like about elementals and what makes them good. They're genuine threats to battle mechs, whereas poor bloody infantry in the BattleTech universe, they just, especially in a total warfare level game without field guns and stuff like that, infantry can spot. Yeah. Outside of niche scenarios where they're like tying down a garrison city or something like that, they just really don't feel useful. Whereas elementals do, or battle armor does to me.
And another thing I think we haven't touched on is, you mentioned the anti-infantry weapons just roasting conventional infantry, machine guns and flamers and small lasers or small pulse laser.
Yeah.
Battle armor's immune to those bonus rolls. They just mark damage same as a mech.
Yeah, that is something we didn't cover in the rules section. So yeah, whereas I guess infantry, if you shoot at infantry with an AC-10, you divide that by 10, you get one dead trooper. I guess battle armor is weaker to conventional weapons in that respect. You know, you're not rolling, what is it, 3d6 if they get shot with a mech scale machine gun? Or is it 2d6?
2d6 for machine gun, 4d6 for a flamer.
They're weaker to mech scale. They're a weird in-between, but a weird in-between that I find endearing and that I like.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you like about battle armor, Kurt, or anything that makes them special to you?
Going back to the damage allocation, for that PPC shot coming in, if it hits, you roll a D6 and you're looking for the random trooper in the squad that got hit. But if you roll a 3, that trooper 3 on the sheet is what gets hit. You mark his 10 bubbles. You could eat 5 PPC shots and not lost any combat effectiveness if you got lucky with the rolls.
And that's pretty great, because their swarm and leg attack rolls get worse as they lose troopers, right?
Yeah, it definitely gets harder.
In that regard, does damage spill over if you kill one?
No.
Josh, what about you? I know you don't really play with them that much, but is there any kind of headcanon stuff you like about battle armor, or anything you like about them on the tabletop?
I do like that they kind of, like you said, are the in-between. I don't enjoy flooding the table with a bunch of tanks that I have to like keep track of. Like, okay, which side or anything did you hit me on? Do you get crits or anything? Nope, they're just 10 or however many armor blips, and that's it. Like, there's no crit rolls. nothing else. It's, to me, it's just adding a couple more armor blips, a weapon or two systems, and I just roll. They are, in my brain, another thing I can add in that doesn't increase the complexity slash slow the game down very much. Like, they're as simple as you can get to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They're pretty straightforward.
Yeah, they're definitely the easiest form of infantry to add.
Even easier, I would say, than infantry. There's a little extra rules, but cluster weapons doing different kinds of damage and pulse lasers, you know, small and micro pulse lasers doing different damage to standard infantry. And it's a little messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you have the battle armor slash power armor tag, everything just gets treated like it's a small mini mech that has none of the drawbacks of the mech. No piloting skill rolls if you're just like taking damage. That's why I'm a really big fan of like the Nighthawk, just because, hey, I would like to take an infantry platoon. This is the simplest abstraction of an infantry platoon. Six troopers with one walk, a little bit of armor so I can mark that off, and they're using infantry weapons, so they're not doing like crazy points of damage. The only problem is they can't go in infantry transports, but at that point, you're kind of...
Oh, the infantry transport is the mech, right? The Omni-mech?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So are we ready to talk about the meat and potatoes, the how to use them, the tactics and strategies?
I'm going to definitely tackle this more from the clan perspective, especially since we're limiting this to up to 3052. Most of the Intersphere tactics are going to be Civil War era and onward.
That's fine. This is the pro-clan episode, because we did an anti-clan episode last time.
So, Dustin, I really like how you said they're a support role. For elementals, I'll say this. Catalyst deciding to include 2 points of elementals in the clan invasion box was a brilliant strategy on their end. One, to get people to play more combined arms. Everybody is going to have elementals, so you know nobody can claim, well, I don't have the models, or
I see that plastic timber wolf. You've got 2 points of elementals at home, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You've got, and the rules came in the box. Even those with just the BattleTech manual, yeah, they're good. Yeah. They can run elementals. The other bit is just clan mechs are so expensive.
They really are. Yeah. I cry at home. How am I going to make a list? They're so expensive.
Are you saying that elementals are just filler to rounding out lists?
Yeah, I mean, if I've got 500 or 600 points left, what clan mech can I buy?
A really bad piloted dasher.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, a dasher's still 1,000 points. There's a few out there that are like 600, but they have like a Beagle active probe, a machine gun, and like one laser.
Yeah, I think there's some mislink stinkers that are like around 700 battle value, but that's still more than 600.
Yeah, we're talking less than a green pilot here for a clanner. So yeah, most of my list sub 10,000 is usually going to be 2 points of elementals and a couple mechs.
I'd have to definitely agree. It's great to throw in, because you can get some breathing room if you throw in 2 points of elementals. And fluff-wise, it makes a lot of sense. This is a disorganized binary, and this is what's left. 3 Omni-mechs and 2 points of battle armor.
The other bonus is, in these early eras, I like to throw my elementals against heavy mechs. So the most common speed for a heavy mech in 3050 is, what, a 4.6?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, that 3-jump elemental can more or less keep up. With good positioning or something, I like to go after like Warhammers, Archers, something that wants to snipe. So if I can run the elementals up and disembark them close by, they just jump in the rest of the way firing their SRMs till they're empty or they're on the target, and they leg attack. Either you're going to try to run away, which only helps me because your sniper fire support's moving and ignoring my mechs, or you're going to ignore it and I'm going to leg attack. And there's been games I've blown a leg off or critted that leg and the Warhammer falls down. Against Intersphere heavies of the era, I think they punch above their weight.
Yeah, definitely.
Because each elemental is like a ton. So you have a 5-ton squad going against a 70-75 ton mech and winning.
Yeah, they're a total nuisance.
Yeah.
But they're a deadly nuisance.
They're the bullies of the battlefield.
Yeah, Josh. I think your first clan game against me, I brought elementals, and they just tied up your Black Knight for like 5 or so turns. They died. Every one of them died. But they did far more damage to that Black Knight and kept it tied up.
What? And there's not a reason why I haven't invited you back onto this podcast at all.
I really like, tactically speaking, that you can use battle armor to force some really hard decisions for your opponent. And the more hard decisions your opponent is making, you know, the more you're throwing them off of their balance. Do you, like Kurt was saying, do you ignore the battle armor I just dropped off in your back line? Do you waste the, you know, because they're harder to hit, they get that plus one. Do you waste firepower trying to shoot them down? Or do you try to like squash them? Do you move your mechs out of position to avoid them? Because a 4-6 is going to be, can technically flee if you run, especially if you're kind of in a bowling ball situation. Elementals, like any infantry, are even more of a nightmare inside of rough terrain or a city environment. They're all chess pieces on the field. All of your mechs and battle armor, I like to think of them as having their little roles. There's a negative space around every chess piece and battle armor. They have that 3-hex jump that they're going to be jumping every turn. Are you going to get out of position with your mechs to avoid them? Or are you going to waste the firepower? I think you would say, Josh, you could use elementals to kind of help dictate the engagement, right?
Oh, no. They are one of the most efficient ways to dictate the battlefield and where you're fighting. Because one squad, no one wants to get close to them just in case you get a bad roll on like a PSR and you fall. Because they will jump on you. You will not get them off easily.
Yeah, and just the nature their weapons, they are nice crit seekers.
Yeah,
I mean, all those SRMs, the small laser, the anti-infantry rifle, that's a lot of possible crit chances.
Yeah,
if armor's stripped on a mech.
It is also another hard counter to big heavy mechs. One of the complaints that I feel like I personally have that I have to fight against, because it's not totally true, is that heavier, well-armored, and heavily gunned battle mechs, you know, we all think they just perform better, but them getting headshotted or critted off the table is the risk reward you have to take with them. And then elementals and battle armor take it to a whole new level, because, you know, battle armors are a hard counter to a very expensive battle value slow asset on your opponent's table. Bringing a stand of some sort of battle armor, I feel like, especially once you start bringing that into your friend group, into your games, I feel like it's a auto include some form of battle armor.
Yeah, the leg attack is definitely key. That's what I do. Once I can get in your hex, I'm going to leg attack you. And as long as I can keep up, I'm going to keep doing it. And with that automatic crit roll or crit chance for a successful leg attack, it's only going to get worse as I do actuator damage. You're only going to get slower and I'm only going to keep up more.
And just continue the pain.
Yeah, exactly. You can't target me when I'm in your hex as a mech.
Yeah, you can't.
You can only stop me. You can only do kick attacks, which if I'm doing actuator damage, it's going to be risky.
Because that might make your piloting skill roll in the next phase more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I know your answer to this question, Kurt, but swarm attacks or leg attacks once you do get in that hex?
If the target's immobile, I'll do swarm. Or if it's laying on the ground with a leg gone, I'll do swarm. But if it's standing up, it's going to be leg attacked.
How about you, Josh? Have you encountered this decision, or is this a hypothetical for you?
See, I prefer to use their guns just because I rarely get the chance to actually do the physical attack against them. I'm constantly trying to maneuver my battle armor to like herd the enemy to where I want him to go. Like, okay, if I don't want him to go to this side, I'll move my elementals or my battle armor to maybe not the most like strategic place. Like, mm-hmm. I might put them in the open for a turn to make sure that I get the enemy out of the wood that I want to like push him out of. Like, so I use them more as a can opener, not as a can opener, use them more as like a tool rather than a physical, I'm going to do damage to you. Like, I'll use their small lasers, or in my case, I prefer the medium laser battle armors just because the 3-6-9 is so choice.
What medium laser battle armor in this era, sir?
Uh-oh.
In this era, none, but that's the thing. I'm not much of a physical attacking battle armor guy. I may get close, shoot one or two hexes out, and try to push the enemy out.
Yeah, so that kind of gets into the question of like, where are you dropping off your battle armor? Both in the short term, because they don't generate that movement modifier on the turn you drop them off, but thinking ahead, because it's always good to think ahead at least one turn, maybe two turns. But, you know, where are you putting your battle armor when you're looking at the map?
Because there's two schools of thought on that. Either the method I described, rushing them into the back line to take out slow heavies or assault mechs, mm-hmm. or if your clan, to find a nice obstructed hill midway between you and the other force and drop them off behind the hill, and then that's a speed bump. Either, you know, the inner sphere moving over that hill to get to you, your mechs that are sniping at them, they either have to stop and take out elementals, which just gives your mechs longer to snipe, or they just try to run past them, and then you're getting rear shots and trying for leg attacks. And it's a tactical choice for the other player.
Okay, so in that instance, you're using your elementals in a defensive manner.
Yeah, they're a speed bump to get to the clan Omni mechs. It's going to buy you a couple turns. Either they have to go around the hill, ignoring the battle armor, or they're going to have to plow through and either target the elementals, or they're going to have to ignore them and then just suffer as the elementals follow them.
Yeah, that's right. Because as the, you know, as the clan mech player with the clan elementals, you know, you're going to be trying to leverage your clan mech's superior range and firepower. So you're using them kind of as a defensive screen.
Yeah.
In that instance. Okay. Yeah, I've never thought of them that way, but that is a great way to think of them. I feel like I always do some sort of a hybrid between tying up their backline and tying up the midfield. But with elementals specifically, I always, maybe not always, but I find myself dropping the elementals off maybe closer to the enemy's deployment or snipers, but using the SRMs on the way in as I'm positioning them to tie up the slower assets. But yeah, using them as a defensive screen is something I need to try out.
Yeah, it just depends on what the opposing op four is. You know, if the opposing op four is more archers and warhammers, I'm going to rush them to the back. If it's more mediums moving up the field, they're going to go to midfield.
What kind of mechs do you like to put your battle armor on?
As a ghost bear, there's two traditional ones I use a lot. The Fire Moth, just because of how fast that thing can move. I mean, up to 20 hexes is really nice to cover turn one if I can get that straight line run. The other is the Viper or the Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Because you can still jump with the Viper with the battle armor attached. So
yeah,
if it's a lot of flat terrain, Fire Moth wins out. If it's built up or a city, then Viper will win out.
Yeah, as a Clan Wolf player, I feel like I've always got a gargoyle, or a man of war with a point of elemental strapped to it, because it's a relatively mobile assault mech. It can get to that midfield drop-off point and kind of fade from there. You know, the incredibly mobile choices are always there. Like you said, the Fire Moth and the Viper. Ice Ferret as a Clan Wolf player.
Yep, you know, that'd be yours.
12 movement is nothing to sneeze at, so I feel like a very standard list is my Gargoyle, my Ice Ferret, 2 points, and something else. Both, I think the Ice Ferret might be just as much, if not more expensive than the Gargoyle, depending on which Ice Ferret variant I'm bringing. I'm always bringing, you know, the Gargoyle Prime because I think it's cheap.
you like it because it's cheap. It's like 1,500 points.
I can fit it in my list, you know. It's an assault mech. It's one of the few clan assault mechs that you can fit in a, you know, a 5,000 point list very easily into a 7,000-8,000 point list.
Yeah. Some we've not touched on, but why I selected the mechs I did is most people have realized that most of the clan weaponry they put in the arms. Well, while battle armor is embarked, you cannot fire weapons in those torso locations.
Yeah, this is a question that I literally saw last week. Somebody was like, why do all Omni-mechs have the bulk of their weapons in the arms? Like, why would you do that? They can get shot off easier.
Exactly. That's because they're ferrying elementals.
Do you even lift, bro?
Do you even lift? First of all, firing into your rear arc with a bunch of guns is never a bad idea. And that's what arms are for. But outside of that, especially for clan Omni-mechs, you know, you can't use your left and right torso forward-facing weapons if there's battle armor on them. And I think lastly, one thing we kind of haven't touched on, especially as a clan player thinking battle armor, how do they work against armor? Tanks, vehicles, hovercraft, they're pretty good, aren't they?
Very good. If maybe not against hovers because they're just so fast.
Right, they're very fast.
I mean,
slower tanks.
Oh, the slower tanks, it just eats them alive. If I was playing someone combined arms, more than the heavy mech in the back, that's my target for the elementals first. Is what they're just going
to laugh maniacally on the hill as they run down to the tank, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because as I said earlier, they're great crit seekers. Well, that's against vehicles. That's mobility hits.
Yep.
That's motive hits. So
that's a big deal.
Yeah, you immobilize it, and that is when I will swarm. I will swarm tanks all day because it is very hard. There is a defensive way for both mechs and tanks to get rid of swarms.
The stop, drop, and roll and the punch yourself in the face, right?
For mechs. Or they can run into water. Those are conditions that can auto-kill elementals.
Okay.
Yeah, normal Total Warfare is, you either try to brush them off with a chance to punch yourself, mm-hmm. or you you drop and roll, both of which damage you, could damage you.
Right.
Tanks have a way to basically spin. You know, they can
spin in place
and try to throw them off. It's not as likely. And if you do enough motive hits, which isn't that hard with elementals, all those SRMs and 1 point battle or auto rifle shots and each small laser hitting it. I mean, that's a lot of motive rolls.
So I heard you talking a little bit about how to swat those flies off of your battle mechs and armor. So let's talk generally about how to counter battle armor. When God forbid, your opponent brings these monsters onto the battlefield, what's your tactics? What do you deploy to avoid or neutralize this enemy?
Infernos, while they are not as good against battle armor as they are against conventional infantry, for every Inferno missile, you tote up all the Inferno missiles from all sources throughout the turn that hit that squad. And for every full 3 missiles that hit the unit, you automatically pick up a trooper.
Okay.
So Infernos are still a good answer. An SRM-6 or in pairs of SRM-6s will do some work against them with Infernos.
All right. So bring your SRMs. They're slow, right? So that's one of my go-to moves for dealing with battle armor is jumping 3. It's not that far. So you can kind of, especially if your opponent maybe deploys them less judiciously, I just ignore them, right? Once, especially elementals, when they dump their SRMs, which, you know, those bite.
It's only two rounds of fire.
So you can avoid them, right? They're slow, walk away, profit, right?
Yeah. In this era, it's only, all the weapons are only 3 range. Right. Later eras get a little bit better, but for now, it's just a 3-hex range outside those SRMs.
So if you get your pick of the battlefield kit and you know you're going to run into a bunch of toadies in your battle mech or your tank, you know, what kind of weapons, mech scale weapons, are you going to bring to counter them? Because like we discussed earlier, you know, their mechanics aren't like, you know, conventional infantry platoons. There's no dividing by 10 from certain shots or multiplying for machine guns. But what's your game theory on?
2 schools of thought for me. Either AC-10s / PPCs with a smattering of SRMs just to do that, you know, 11th point of damage.
Right.
Or medium laser spam.
Okay.
Because, I mean, 5-point hits, you can do a lot of them very efficiently. Even if you get overkill, it's less of a loss.
Yeah, losing a whole PPC round to 1 point of structure or meat, you know, for the elemental.
Yeah.
Losing 4 points with a, you know, medium laser, that hurts less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of my train of thought when I was using the Black Knight against the elementals. I was like, the medium pulse lasers are not meant to fight the enemy mechs because I'll never get that close against a well-trained, well-planned player. But they will kill elementals because the -2 really helps because elementals have the +1. And if they're jumping, they've got +3. And if they're in the woods, that's another +4. The pulse really helps. And the medium pulses at that point are bringing it back down to like a 50% chance of me hitting on each one. And I only need 2 shots because one will take it to a little bit over half and the other one will kill.
So maybe a reason to bring that inner sphere medium pulse laser that all hate.
The inner sphere pulse has a preferred target. Yeah, has a niche, and it is the anti-elemental. Oh, crap, they're within 3 hexes. If only I knew a weapon that was really good within 3 hexes. Time to,
Wub. Finally, a time to shine for the IS medium pulse
laser. So that's my preferred weapon. The Inferno rounds, I just don't have a lot of mechs that have, you know, decent amounts of SRM that have either 2 ammo bins or that I could devote to throwing against elementals. But the few mechs that have a couple of medium pulse lasers that are okay with not like being diverted to anti-elemental warfare, I think it's a good choice.
Plus, it's always kind of a disappointment. Like, you hit with only 2 Inferno missiles that turn. It's like, well, that did nothing. Absolutely nothing. No damage, no kill trooper, nothing.
Yes, you have to make sure you have enough Inferno rounds to actually be worthwhile. And an SRM-2
exactly.
with Inferno rounds is not worth it at all.
Yeah, you'd have to have multiple to even attempt it.
So we've all heard about the famous Highlander moment between, not the Highlander, but the Black Knight and the Elementals. Kurt, do you have any other fun anecdotes or just little things you've noticed
It's usually examples like that. My Elementals very rarely live through a game, but they usually get the mission accomplished. If they die every game to a man, I don't care. Because they tie up the more than they are worth on the opposing force.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing when we talk like meta war game tabletop stuff, you're saying that you get more than 400 and roughly 450 battle value out of your battle armor.
Yeah. And I still have that dragonfly or fire moth wherever I dumped off the elementals to run further screens or to be a backstab or whatever I need.
Josh, how about you?
So
I know most of your stories are going to be, this is why I hate battle armor.
It's all against me.
You say that, but like, I really enjoy the Nighthawk and I really enjoy the Tyrannus, which is, you know, the Dark Age plus. I know. but it's, I always imagine using them as like the Lord of the Rings Treebeard carrying the hobbits, like, because I put them on like my heaviest mech and I'm just trudging through the center of the battlefield. And as soon as like the enemy starts, the enemy's line starts kind of crumble and starts to give way to kind of give me room, I'm like, cool, here's where I drop them off. I use them at that point as like a nice turret. I don't have to worry. They'll be in a woods. They'll prevent my enemy from getting to that wood. And if they want to go in there, fine. I'll learn swarm attacks when I need to.
Yep.
I know when we were getting our kind of getting our game together to record this episode, you told me something fun that I didn't know about battle armor lore wise concerning IFF.
Yeah. So I always imagined, and I've always been told, that the Omnimechs have like handholds on them. And I always just for some reason pictured this like just a bar, like a straight up like gantry that kind of surrounded all of the Omnimechs.
Yeah. We're talking like infantry hanging off the T-34 here, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was my headcanon too.
Benny Hill style.
So they're just holding onto like these poles that have battle armor arms go here. But then I read like, no, it's more like a closable slot on the armor that I described it like Bluetooth. And that's what I'm going to go with. The elemental has to like actually identify as friendly and then the ports open up and then it can latch on. And that's to prevent enemy battle armor from getting on and using those same handholds to like do anti-mech attacks. Because, oh, there's this battle armor sized ladder going up to the cockpit. Nobody wants that. So those portholes all like close up when an enemy jumps on. The battle armor and Omni system is purely designed to work together, like way beyond what we kind of experienced and known. Like, oh, they grab onto handholds. No, these are handholds that are designed for battle armor.
Yeah, they're built for each other.
These are charging ports as well for the suits.
They do use USB-C, don't they?
Yeah, otherwise suit's only got a couple hours, but that mech has a fusion engine with how many months of power?
Right. So they don't have little portable fusion reactors on them. They got some sort of...
Yeah, it's a battery system. So yeah, that's how they recharge their small laser and the armor itself.
All right, so you heard it here. The best way to combat battle armor is to play a multiple-hour game. Then they'll all shut down and you just go over and kick them over.
That's right.
I mean... Artillery is the best answer because the area of effect weapon hits every trooper at the same time.
Yeah, I know from our Dark Age games, if it does hit, it's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple arrow force will, do the job. If you tag and if you tag them, then you hit them, it hits the mech and the troopers.
Well, you're just hitting the square. You're not hitting the battle armor. You're just targeting the square.
Well, if you do the direct hit, it's different.
Yeah.
But if you hit the hex and it gets them, that's the splash damage to each elemental. And 10 damage is 10 damage.
For me, I know I had a game against you where I ignored my own rules that I'd come up with for how to deploy and use battle armor. I got distracted by some fancy Republic of the Sphere mech or something, and I ignored the crab in the city with my battle armor, whatever battle armor I was using. And that definitely lost me the game. I don't know if I would have won if I had picked the right target, but the king crab you had just was an absolute menace because it was in its element, and I targeted something else. And, they did great work against whatever it was that I targeted, if I remember correctly. But
if I remember right, it was a jumping stealth armor mech. That's all I can remember.
Yeah, and it was the wrong move. And I deserve to lose that game. And, initially, maybe one of the first times I saw elementals on the field, I was just like, that's fancy infantry. They're not actually scary. And I underestimated their at-range firepower, ate a bunch of SRMs, and, medium lasers are only 3 points of damage until they're not, until there's five of them shooting at
medium
you.
Medium lasers are five.
Sorry, small lasers on the elementals.
Gotcha.
I misspoke. Yeah. But
I was like, I used the medium laser once, and they're great. They're like an entire another Black Knight in my brain.
Here's my Black Knight and my Black Knight Jr. and never talk to him again.
They'll never make a Black Knight Omni because I would buy five of them.
You heard it here, Catalyst. You need to make it.
All right. So anybody else got anything on Elementals Battle Armor? I think that kind of wraps it up.
So we asked Kurt if he could come up with a mixed star to kind of highlight the uses of the Elementals. So I will throw it to him to see what he brought us today.
All right. Yeah, I was asked to do a 7,500 BV mixed star. I threw in 2 points of Elementals, a Stormcrow Prime, a Fire Moth Prime, and a Dragonfly Prime. As I said, I play Ghost Bear. So the Fire Moth and Dragonfly are my two traditional battle armor taxis. That's what's going to be ferrying the battle armor up the field. Stormcrow's just what was one mech that fit within the BV limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two options that I usually like for my battle armor. And it depends on if I'm facing combined arms or if I'm just facing mechs. Typically, though, the more I play, the more I'm leaning towards the Flamer.
Really? No kidding.
It's a little cheaper than the small laser that Josh quoted earlier. Not only is it just 3d6 versus conventional infantry per flamer in the squad, so five times 3d6 if it hits.
That's a lot of damage.
Yeah. It also, that tactic of backfield sniper, so if I'm going against that Warhammer and I'm jumping in, if I am just short of getting within the hex for a leg attack, I'm going to flame it to try to slow it down. I'm going to do not do damage. I'm going to do heat to try to slow it down for the next turn.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're not necessarily trying to use the flamer to suppress the mech's firepower. You just want it to be slower.
Both work.
Yeah, this doesn't hurt.
If I can overheat it while it's trying to fire those PPCs, it's got to keep in mind for bracket firing purposes, yeah, you're going to be maybe adding heat here. And if you slow down, here's a leg attack next turn.
So I'm looking at this list that you wrote up, and I'm thinking about the kind of the two doctrines you said you have for battle armor. And I'm guessing this is less of the defensive screen for long range firepower and more of the drop them in the back line and maybe, you know, skirmish with your mechs while your battle armor tear up.
I mean, both will do it. Both for me will work.
Okay.
Both of those platforms are fastest. Dragonfly's 8. Mm-hmm. 8, 12, 8. Fire Moth is 10, 15/20, the mask.
I guess those.
So, I mean, both will cover ground fast, and I can either fall back if I deploy midfield, fall back afterwards. If I throw them all the way in the backfield, yeah, they'll just turn into try and get rear shots or something like that.
I guess that Stormcrow Prime does have, is it ER large lasers?
2 ER large, so
it can reach out.
And 3
ER mediums.
Yeah. 3 ER mediums.
Yeah, that dasher's just so flimsy. Like it's
don't sneeze.
Yeah,
on
it's the taxi, and its only job is to get them there, and then to run around and just get an insane TMM
with an amount of firepower that's not nothing. I mean, it brings what 10 SRMs total and 2 medium lasers.
2 ER medium and an SRM 6 and an SRM 4, yeah.
And these are clan ERs.
And it's heat neutral. Both of those, Dragonfly and
Viper Prime.
Fire Moth are heat neutral, the primes are. So, yeah, every turn just firing off every gun.
Josh, what do you think about, what are your observations and questions for this list?
I definitely think it's a good elemental delivery list. I think the Dasher is too fast for its own good. The Dragonfly is kind of right behind it. Like an A12-8 is a really respectable speed.
It's got armor,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's got a decent amount, 134 points of armor split across it. It can take most EC-10s and PBCs. Like it can take one good hit on everywhere and be pretty okay.
Right.
I mean, it's still got the ablative elementals possible.
True.
Don't forget.
On the way in, and if I'm running the Dragonfly in, I'm jumping at 8 hexes. That's a 4 modifier just on the jump.
Right.
Plus, it's got 2 pulse laser, so I'm still firing somewhat accurately.
My only thought on this is the Stormcrow is a little, I don't want to say under armored. Like it's good with 182. Like it's got as much armor as almost it can take. Just to me, it seems like it's too much of a fast skirmisher and not something to kind of hold the line. Because at 7,500, your Undersphere player is probably going to be taking an assault, 3 heavies, maybe some other things just to fill it out. And they're going to be either elited up gunnery skilled or a whole nother mech just for pure support.
That's the whole problem of clan versus Intersphere at that level is, I mean, the Stormcrow was the third mech. 2 points of elementals, my 2 taxis, and okay, what do I have left and what will fit?
Yeah.
Would you ever drop the elementals to 4 or 5, or is it just because they're so cheap, it's never worth it?
I mean, I like to try to keep them at 3, 4. If I have to, I'll drop to like a 3-5 if I just a little bit over. I want to try to keep those leg attacks valid.
Oh.
And that uses your anti-mech skill.
It's not a piloting skill. It's an anti-mech skill.
Yeah.
And that's where you're getting all your physical attack modifiers from.
Just saying, those leg attacks can be sometimes high risk, but they are very high reward.
For me, like I said, I think the Fire Moth doesn't need to be a 3-4 just because its main purpose is delivery.
Yeah, that was just standard clan. I just didn't modify it out. Fine. But
just observations from an inner sphere pilot on why do we have good pilots in the taxis? But yeah, anyone got any other thoughts or comments on anything we talked about?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think one of the worst matchups I had was Dustin against a Panther. Yeah, I think a Panther versus the Elementals, I think, was one of the worst matchups because it was a poor BV trade-off for me, and you were just barely fast enough to outrange me. Well, not outrange me, but keep away from me and just hit me with a PPC every turn.
Oh, gosh, I do not remember this game.
Yeah, I mean, I fired the SRMs into it, but I couldn't do enough damage to put it down.
Oh, okay.
But then after that, it was like, well, you stayed 3 hexes away at all times. And
stay away.
Sorry, you stayed 4 hexes away, so I was like, well, I can't shoot you. I can't charge you. I'm never going to catch you.
So you always want to make sure that your elemental target is worth getting shot and distracted for.
Yeah. That's why I said I generally throw them at heavies where it's a nice exchange rate. Even if they don't win or kill the heavy, it's usually a nice tie up.
Being careful of what I said, my number one go-to counter for elementals is to just walk away. So you want to be careful in deployment of your elementals to make sure that's less of an option for your opponent, right?
Yeah. All I can think about is like that one meme picture where it's like that old sci-fi cover of the guy trying to beat like the swarm of crabs. Yeah. You know which one I'm talking about. And that's, you don't want to end up like that because, well, as we all know, all those crabs have little claws and they're all going to get you and they're going to go for the eyes. The best way to avoid being swarmed by a bunch of crabs, don't go into the pile of crabs. Kurt, thank you for bringing us your star
and your general knowledge of elementals and battle armor on the tabletop. You're definitely the rules buff and the person who's always got them with you.
Always welcome.
I'd like to thank all of our patrons again. Without your support, the passion project known as the Mech Bay Podcast would probably not be around as long as it is.
It costs money. You guys support what we do, mostly what Josh does. Let's be real. You support Josh.
The team effort.
And the software that you pay for.
It's a team effort, and the team has an I in it, and you just can't see it because it's right behind the T. But thank everyone. And if you have any questions, you can email us at themechbay@podcast@gmail.com or on Facebook at the Mech Bay Podcast. Just remember, everyone, through salvage, all things are possible.